Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
This week we're going to conclude our reflections on St. Paul's marks of charity as you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And today we're going to discuss the 13th mark of charity, which is that love believes all things. That's 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7. We'll look at this mark as it regards first our relationship with God and then as it regards our relationships with others. So first, love believes in God. We recite creed every Sunday. We profess, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, etc. Love believes in God. It doesn't disbelieve in him, so love isn't atheistic or agnostic. Not only does love believe in God, but love also believes everything that God says. What was Jesus' reply to the desert, in the desert, to the devil? When he tempted him, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Love also believes everything that the church teaches as well. Please don't separate God from his church. He doesn't like it when people do that. Okay, it's like trying to separate two young, madly in love newlyweds on their honeymoon. Not a wise thing to do when we do that. Regarding the church, we know our Lord says, he who hears you, meaning he who hears the church, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. Luke 10, verse 16. Rejecting the teachings of the church on faith and morals means rejecting Christ. And rejecting Christ means rejecting the Heavenly Father. It means not believing in God. So when St. Paul says love believes all things, you can see how love, the theological virtue of charity, how it's connected also to the theological virtue of faith. Catechism at number 1814 says that faith is the theological virtue by which we believe in God and believe all that he has said and revealed to us, and that Holy Church proposes for our belief because God is truth itself. When the apostle says that love believes all things, the word for believe that he uses in the Greek text there is a word which we've spoken a lot about before. It's the Greek word pisteo. Pisteo's meaning is like a double-sided coin. On the one side, it means yes, to believe intellectually, to consider something to be true. But the other side of the coin is that pisteo also means to have confidence in someone, to trust them, to entrust yourself to them. So belief isn't just notional, it's not just conceptual. Belief is also relational, too. Belief in God isn't just an intellectual exercise or a pastime. It's not just from the neck up or just believing in truths or teachings. It's also having confidence, confidence in God's love and care for you. It's trusting him. It's entrusting your life and your heart and your whole self to him. So belief in God is worshiping him in spirit and in truth, as Jesus says in John 4, 23. It's having a real relationship with the true living God. When you learn to do that, you actually experience a freedom that you never thought possible when you learn to put those two together. So when it comes to faith, the heart and the head have to go together. Otherwise, what happens? Well, either the heart withers or it dies, or the head's just completely lost. So true belief puts heart and head together in a harmonious way. So please keep that in mind. Love believes all things means on a theological level that I believe in God's existence, in his revelation, in what his church teaches, and I entrust my life to him. If one of those pieces of the puzzle is missing, then I really don't believe in God. My belief is incomplete, deficient, and insufficient. Tied to entrusting myself to God is the fact that belief also means obeying God, keeping his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says in John 14, verse 15. So love believes all things, and belief and behavior go together as well. Just like the head and the heart have to go together, so too belief and behavior have to go together. You can't believe in God and then behave in any way which is contrary to God's standard for you. When we do that, Jesus has a word for it. He calls it hypocrisy. His denunciation of the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 23 is all about their hypocrisy, how they play religion, or they like children play house, but they don't believe really in their minds and in their hearts. Even today, we know we have public figures who profess to be Catholic and yet promote and defend the killing of unborn children, euthanizing the elderly and the infirm. They promote recreational drug use, which is sinful. They support the redefinition of marriage, the celebration of deviant sexual lifestyles, the indoctrination and corruption of the minds and the hearts of children regarding these and other things. And yet they claim to be Catholic. It is a form of hypocrisy. There's a certain pity one can feel for them, especially in the older ones who are only a few years away or less from Judgment Day, and in the younger ones who are really, really just ignorant about a lot of things. Harder to pity those priests who encourage them in their evil policies, or who wink their eyes and give them a pass and a false sense of security, the false idea that they're okay with God. And unfortunately, those priests don't just corrupt politicians, they also corrupt the faith of a lot of other people as well, sadly, with their heretical teachings, and even for some of them, with their sinful lifestyles. God saves his severest judgments for corrupt priests, bishops, cardinals, and religious. You see that in the words of Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees in the Gospels. And we'll see that on the last day of judgment as well, the great and terrible day of the Lord, as the prophet Joel calls it in Joel 2:31. So we should pray for their conversion, obviously, not just for the conversion of the supposedly Catholic politicians and public figures who distort faith in Christ. We need to pray for everyone's conversion. And as a side note to that, when you separate faith and reason, sooner or later down the line, you're going to end up losing both of them. You embrace things which are either totally unreasonable and contrary to nature and reality, and you shipwreck your faith at the same time. Reason merely becomes rationalization for sin, and faith deforms and it becomes fideism or superstition, which is essentially the same thing as fideism. Chesterton probably said it best. He said that when you deny the supernatural, all that you're left with is the unnatural. He said, that's essentially what we are in our culture today. As far as love, believing all things in our relationships with other people, St. Paul's not telling us to believe everything that everyone says and to trust everyone. That's not belief, that's being credulous, it's not being charitable. Love believes all things means that a charitable person isn't suspicious of everyone. They're not quickly inclined to attribute sinister motives to other people. Of course, there are people who are wise, it's not to trust, but charity strives to believe the best about others, and it strives to see the good, or at least the potential for good, in other people. Again, that doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries or with others or consequences for bad behavior, or that we should enable people to continue in their destructive lifestyles. No, but it essentially means that we have an open heart towards others, even those who do evil or who are evil. We have a heart that holds out for their conversion. We have a heart of compassion for them. Our Lord, when he encountered the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, he had an open heart towards her. He saw the potential for good in her. He saw something in her that her accusers didn't see, or they refused to see. He brought out the good in her. It's essentially what we're called to do with others as well. William Barclay, in his commentary, makes an interesting observation along these lines. He says that often we make people what we believe them to be. He says if we show that we don't trust people, then we make them untrustworthy. If we show that we trust them, we make them trustworthy. Love can ennoble even the ignoble by believing the best about them, says Barclay. And there's certainly a lot worth reflecting on in that. If the way I look at others changes, sometimes that will help the other person to also become a better person, too. Because people need those who see the good in them. People need those who believe that there is good in them. That's so important. So let's ask Our Lady, who believed in God completely, head and heart, and who always strove to see the good or the potential for good in others. Let's ask her for the grace to take to heart these truths and to put them really into practice in our everyday lives. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.